CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hello, I'm David Kavlovic, presenting to you some classical muse. Our show is mostly Italianate today, but in the second half we will travel across Il Canale della Manica for some symphonic music that is English, but with a bit of an Irish brogue. To open the show, we have an overture, although actually referred to as a prologo, to an opera composed in 1845 by Giuseppe Verdi. A number of composers in operatic history have set the story of Joan of Arc to music. Verdi was no exception. His Giovanna d'Arco, using a libretto by the Italian composer and librettist Themistocle Solera, which is itself based on a play by the German poet Friedrich von Schiller, was panned by the critics, who cited a rather lugubrious libretto. But the opera was nevertheless adored by the audience. Though not performed as often as other Verdi operas, it does get an outing on the stage from time to time. The prologo is also often played in concert halls as well. Here is the prologo from the opera Giovanna d'Arco by Giuseppe Verdi, in a recording made in our home on native land by the Canadian Opera Company Orchestra, conducted by Richard Bradshaw. The Canadian Opera Company Orchestra, conducted by Richard Bradshaw, performed the Prologo to Giuseppe Verdi's 1845 opera Giovanna d'Arco, a recording made by the CBC for its own record label, the SM5000 series, back in 1994. A genre that is slightly older than opera and a big influence on it as well is what we have next. The Italian madrigal loomed large over the first few decades of the development in the 17th century of the drama per musica, opera, which makes a lot of sense when you consider the first composers of what we now call opera, the early Baroque composers Jacopo Peri and Claudio Monteverdi, were also master madrigalists. Peri is said to have composed the first ever opera, Daphne, around 1597, but unfortunately that work is lost. But Peri is also credited with the first extant opera, Euridice, which dates from 1600. Monteverdi composed his own setting of the Orpheus and Euridice legend in 1607. There were others, though, sometimes forgotten but just as talented, who contributed to the development of vocal music as did Peri and Monteverdi. One of them, long considered outstanding, yet still not performed as often, was Sigismondo d'India, who was probably born in Palermo, Sicily, around 1582, and most likely died in Modena sometime around 1629. D'India quite clearly absorbed the stylistic elements of basically all the compositional styles emanating from all the regions of Italy. Although he never composed an opera, D'India's madrigal settings are as dramatic as any by Monteverdi, which suggests that, just like his more famous contemporaries' madrigals, the performance of D'India's madrigals were staged, or semi-staged, in the palaces and grand estate houses of Italy in which they were heard. Like Monteverdi, D'India composed madrigals in the ancient and modern styles. We're going to hear works from both styles. The so-called ancient style was basically solo-voiced, and at times duets, with accompaniment, usually a lute or keyboard, and were known as monody. The style flourished from about 1600 to 1640. It is from this style that what eventually became known as recitative style in opera, the parts that were sung in a declamatory fashion to essentially move the story along, evolved. We're going to hear six examples of monody madrigals by Sigismondo d'India now, all accompanied by lute. They come from three different madrigal publications of his, dating from 1609, 1615, and 1621. To sing these madrigals by d'India, we'll hear sopranos Emma Kirkby and Judith Nelson, tenor Martin Hill, and bass David Thomas. They are accompanied by Anthony Rulli on the lute.
Al mio Sick. canto archia.
Comuni. Sassi più